are listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
Welcome to the Guardians Fancast. We've got a smaller crowd tonight. It's me and Peyton and Allie talking Guards baseball. Welcome. Welcome, ladies.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So, bullpen's on fire right now.
That's fine, though. I mean, they've been good every other day. They deserve one meltdown. That's fine.
Yeah, I saw it's weird that BD and Smith's velocity seem to be down. I don't know, it might just be one of those things, pitching in a new park. Maybe it's cold, I don't know what the temperature is there.
Yeah, I'll just blame the city of Boston. I don't know why, but it's their fault.
That seems fair.
Can any of it be overwork?
Yeah, you kind of worry about that or an injury because of work. Yeah.
I know.
You know, it's funny to think about, like, obviously, no, not pushing any panic buttons or anything. But when you think about the bullpen, everybody's got to keep performing or there are going to be options that are better than the options that you have because, like, Nick Enright is absolutely demolishing people in Columbus, and Anthony Ghost is demolishing people in Columbus. You know, it's just there's constantly another option you consider. Sam Hinches working his way back. Yep. So
I would love to see an Anthony Ghost return. I would love to have that happen.
Yeah, I think everybody. I shouldn't say everybody because there are always people that don't like happiness or puppies, but I think most people want to see Anthony Ghost come back.
He's just a heck of a story between the fact that, like, there's a top prospect who didn't quite pan out, and then you then consider all the injuries he's had throughout his career. For him to become anything at this point, especially so late in his career, would be, like, such a story of resilience, and not just like a great story in general of a guy who's been out pretty much out of the game, just wanted to stay in baseball, switch positions, and then injury after injury seemingly that he's had throughout his career, and is just like stay with it when so many other guys are just quitting, giving up. It's just, it'd be such a cherry on top, especially if he could become a key catalyst throughout the year.
Yeah, pretty inspiring story. I agree. So despite the 5-run inning from the bullpen, seems like the Guardians have been surpassing everyone's expectations to beginning the season, huh?
Yeah. Greg took blame for jinxing this by saying that every game out before today had been a breeze, that we had been in every game up until this point, other than like one game, which
not in the game. It'll still be exciting.
Yeah, I still think we're right in it, especially with Bo up and the way the bottom of the order has been performing. We're just a Gabby bomb away from a tie game.
And that could happen at any minute. I think it's interesting that every single player on the roster has been pretty good for the most part. And I feel like people online are still clamoring for call up Kyle Manzardo or, you know, call up this person. I don't feel like there's anyone that I'm ready to move on from at this point in time. And I don't really know the last time I felt that way about a roster.
It's hard to feel down on anybody. That's a great way to put it, Allie. usually at this point you're like, I've seen enough of this person, but everybody's on the roster. Even people who've had their moment of frustration, it's like, yeah, I'd like to see a little more of this person, see what they're capable of. I felt so good tonight, as you know, we're right now recording the Guardians and Red Sox are playing in game two of their series, and Red Sox are up 6-5. But I felt so good tonight that Tyler Freeman finally got a home run. Because Stephen Vogt has just stuck with him, and you know, obviously he's been playing very well in the field, but he's been searching for it at the plate. And but Vogt keeps going to him, and then tonight drops in the number nine lineup, which I like that he tried moving him up to number two, and now he drops him to number nine. Just try to see if you can get a guy shaken up a little bit and find a different mindset to be able to hit,
Well,
and then Freeman gets a home run. That's great.
I was happy to see that too because everybody else on the team has had enough chances to struggle and then adjust and come back from struggling. Tyler Freeman's never played long enough to even struggle in the first place, so to give up on him now I think would be really unfair.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that he's playing and he hit that home run. I feel like he's gonna get greeted with the drug test tomorrow morning, but good for him. It was worth it.
The Myles Garrett treatment.
Exactly.
Yeah,
418 feet from Tyler Freeman, sure.
he can hit the ball hard. It's just he doesn't lift it enough. So that was good to
Well,
see.
he does now.
He does now. Well, and I will say, I don't know what's going to happen this game, but the Boston bullpen's not especially good. Of course, the Cleveland bullpen is especially good, and they give up 5 runs. So you never know what can happen in a baseball game, but hopefully they'll stick with it here. I think I heard Vogt with Hamilton talking about Tom Hamilton talking about how the identity of this team was forged by Tito, and that he just gets to be the next guy to hand it over and try to put finishing touches on a masterpiece, so to speak. And you can definitely see that they have that never say die, let's get this done, we're never out of it mindset. And that's so crucial to have as a baseball team. And it isn't something that all baseball teams have. So definitely feel blessed that seems like he's been able to carry that into this team.
For sure. And they've been scoring the ball better. I mean, we already have 4 6-run games on pretty much half of all we had last year, as Gage tweeted earlier today. Pretty
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, the offense is hanging in there. It's great to see.
And like Ali was saying with roster construction, there was somebody else who I saw a tweet the other day. I think it might have been before Floreal's second home run. But if you took away his walks and made them singles, he'd have a respectable batting average of at least like 267, 270. So like I think that also like forces a shift in perspective and how he's performed.
And you also have to consider that he was cheated out of a walk by the umpires against New York. And I feel like at this point in the year, that one walk makes a difference in those numbers a little bit.
And here he comes.
You summoned him.
There you go. He's ready to hit another home run and make us all excited about his potential.
Bo just got under that.
And there's lots of ideas. There's lots of things that can help. I mean, Jose isn't really going the way that he can, so that'll help in the future because he'll turn things around here. And Tyler Freeman will start to hit a little bit better too consistently, I'm sure. So I think there's lots of reasons to hope for more. And then you got some guys that will come as reinforcements down the line.
Yeah, like I can't really think of anyone who they would send down for Manzardo. Maybe Laureano, but even then, he's been pretty solid for the most part.
Is
And
it?
I don't. He's
Go
on an entirely new contract, right?
ahead.
Was that an extension or a new agreement? Like that
He
was.
was claimed by the Guardians, so it's technically his first. it's technically the contract that he had with the A's as a player that they brought from the minors that the Guardians take over having claimed him.
I don't know why I thought that after that they had
Probably you were probably thinking of how they reached agreement with arbitration with them, and it kind of gets That's described as like signing a contract sometimes. Okay. And they agreed to it early, so that's probably what you were thinking.
Yeah, because I remember seeing something about that and thinking, why would they move on from him that quickly if they just brought him back? But they didn't bring him back. He never left. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's confusing how they do it. It's also confusing figuring out the whole service time thing because, you know, Peyton was saying maybe they'd send Laureano down. I don't think they will because he's a veteran. But it's also a question of if they could. He doesn't quite
have 5 years. Yeah, I don't think they can. I think they have to DFA him.
Well, he doesn't have 5 years of service time, so I think they could. But the rules are as clear as mud to me sometimes, so I'm not entirely sure. But I don't think they would. I think if they wanted to move on from Laureano, they'd probably try to find somebody to take him in a trade. I think someone would at this point. And I also don't think that they need to move on from Laureano. I think if they need to move a position player down, it's going to have to be Brennan. Or if they say, hey, Florial's fun, but we don't think it's going to work, they'd DFA him. I think that's pretty much how it would have to go. And that's hard to do with any one of those. You know, Florial's a lot of fun, and obviously we all love Will Brennan, and he's shown some great signs of turning things around too. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
It's also interesting to me how you can fit him in unless you're making the full-time DH and then still consistently find Freeman at bats. I'm not Freeman, Fry. And some of the utility guys too. Because, of course, like, then I'm guessing if you're putting Fry in and you're giving Fry a start, you either have to, you probably have to put him in the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Will Brennan just hit one over 102 miles an hour. Just
that inning was frustrating.
Yep. He really sees the ball well in Fenway, which is nice.
Fenway is such a weird park, too, because I feel like right field's kind of deep, and then you just randomly have Pesky's pole in the corner.
Yeah. Fenway is weird. That is true. It is fun. I've gone there, and I saw a little bit of a game that got rained out, and it is a fun environment to watch a game in, but yeah, it's definitely a weird park to play in. It's so weird that your lead never feels comfortable because of the green monster. Like, you could just pepper the green monster all night with balls not even hit that hard. So, and then of course Pesky's pole too, that's pretty easy to get out. So you never feel particularly safe there. It's kind of like playing in Coors Field, that where you're like, well, somebody could hit one out any moment. Now, do you two have any preference as far as the first draft pick goes? Is there somebody you're leaning towards? Peyton, you're kind of a Bazana girl, right?
Yeah, I like Bazana a lot. I mean, I also think Condon could bring something. It really also just depends where they think they can play him. They see him only as a corner guy or like a corner infielder, then that's definitely an issue. I also think it depends on whether if they think Bazana can play center field. I've seen some people suggest they think Condon can play center, but if you think you can solve your center field thing, and also the fact that we still have some uncertainty, I feel like at this point at second base, especially with how you've been talking about Brito and whether they're still unsure whether Brito can play second base or not. I think there's a lot to like there about Bazana, and also just his intangibles. That, granted, I haven't read as much about Condon and his character and all that jazz too. And I also really haven't read a lot enough about Honeycutt.
Yeah, I think all these guys, you know, at this point, they're all pretty hard workers. The rare people can be successful at that level and not work pretty hard. But it does seem like Bazana takes it to a different level as far as the things that he's willing to spend time working on understanding and getting into. Yeah, I've just been struck by it. Like, Nick Kurtz hits a home run every day. And I know people are like, well, they're not going to take a first baseman number one. But then I'm constantly hearing these scouts say, well, he kind of reminds us of Jim Thome. And I was like, if he's Jim Thome, you should absolutely take him.
Because I agree.
Jim Thome's a Hall of Famer. So those don't come along every day. Now, I'm not saying they should draft Nick Kurtz. You'd have to be like looking at him saying, we're pretty sure if everything pans out, this guy's Jim Thome, then you'd take him probably. But that's a tough thing to be able to scout. I do think
he'd also have to be, to me, also to be worth it, he'd also have to be as good of a fielder as Thome was at his peak.
Yeah. Which isn't a huge bar to climb, but yeah, you have to make sure he's not a stiff out there. I think I would say too that you know, Condon, as people talk about the right hand hitter thing, which is nice because the Guardians don't have a ton of right hand hitters in the system, and I don't think they'll be too concerned about that. I think they'd be fine filling the lineup with lefties because it's easy for lefties to it's easier for lefties to hit at Progressive Field, and plus
exactly.
Also, most pitchers are right-handed, so
kind yeah, of. I think a lot of people just are getting like super hung up on like, oh, we have to have a right-hander, and like I also like again with you, I don't think like the fact that Condon's a right-hander should be like the thing that like pushes you to take him. Like
yeah.
To me, yeah, just silly. Like, oh, we haven't had a right-handed power bat since Manny, but like we also don't necessarily need to have one. We've made a World Series without a right-handed power bat.
And you two are we all right-handed in this conversation? Anybody left-handed here?
I'm left-handed, yeah.
Oh, you're left-handed. Okay. And Allie, did you play ball?
Yeah, I played softball and I hit righty through lefty.
You,
I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, why? I was gonna
I don't know. It feels I don't think I could swing a bat lefty. And I don't know if like when I played T-ball as a 4-year-old, if that's just how I was taught and I never learned any other way.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm thinking but about no, that with my T-ballers right now, seeing if maybe I should have my boys try left-handed here and there. Yeah.
I haven't played in probably 10, 15 years, and I think I still would – I'd swing righty because that just is the only thing I physically think I can do.
I was about to ask I was going to assume you were swinging left-handed. I was going to ask what it's like to not have to step over the plate to get to first, because I always resented when I played, you know, backyard and church softball leagues and stuff, but I always kind of resented it that my left-hand hitting friends – they don't have to take that extra step to get to first. So, what's wrong with that?
Well, that's actually interesting because I tweeted something and it wasn't really that I was just noticing how like seemingly an oddity that I guess Thome is too, but Manzardo is in the fact that like he bats left-handed and feels right-handed, and like my dad also, like, again, being a lefty, my dad naturally played first base growing up, and how weird it seems that it is. And Matt was saying how in some cases, like, it could be that he just, or whoever it is, might track the ball better a different way because your right eye might be more dominant. And because of that, you might bat lefty, which is an interesting concept that I had never thought of, because I had thought maybe, like, it could have been the other way around, or like because you are closer naturally from the batter's box to first base or something like that. And I just thought that was an interesting discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't something I necessarily thought about, the dominant eye thing, but you do.
It's actually interesting too, because I was also like thinking that, like, I think for me at the gym, like that also correlates, because one thing that I've noticed about myself is that I feel like I'm my form, or at least I feel like I'm stronger on my left side. And I think part of that is because on like bench press, for instance, like I'm tracking out of my right eye. So like I'm able to like gauge where the weight is in my form better with my left hand, which is interesting. just interesting how like conversation can spur different things you would never think of on your own.
Yeah. It is. That's a good thing. There are many bad things about Twitter, but a good thing about Twitter is all the people who have some genuine expertise that they can share to help you understand something a little bit more, if you're willing to listen and learn, which is always something that Peyton's willing to do. I know Allie too, that and me as well. I hope that makes it easier to interact. You don't feel like you have all the answers. Can learn a little bit. Well, so we'll see if the Guardians can manage to make a comeback off of Kenley Jansen. No easy task there, unfortunately. They missed their opportunity to score against the part of the Boston bullpen that's not so good. And we'll see if they can manage to pull it off. Gotta make Jansen pitch to you for sure, because he can sometimes.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize how high he was in the save leaders.
Yeah, he's been pretty dominant lately.
Do you think he has a shot at the Hall? 424 saves, fifth all time.
Yeah, that's hard to say how they're going to treat relievers in the future. But Allie, did you have a person that you like the best for a number one pick so far?
I am a Bizzano girl because the Dolans are poor and they have no money, and we need all that streaming dollars from Australia. No, I think there's a lot of talent available, and I just think the fact that he's Australian is fun and cool and separates him and is an opportunity for the Guardians to market themselves globally in a way that they never have before. And I know that has nothing to do with being a talented baseball player or being the best available player, but I just like that layer to the story.
It is, so. Yeah, it is something to consider. I hope they would take advantage of it. I'm not 100% sure they would, because they don't seem like they really get the marketing thing very well, but you know, the thing, they've shown the ability to make their way into other nations and have connections, so hopefully they can. Oh, Tyler Freeman with a double. Sorry if I'm ahead of you.
You are, but I like that.
Tyler Freeman at Fenway Park never fails.
But I also got reactions from Discord, so I'm not surprised.
He's... Oh, wait, Brennan is our Fenway person. Okay, Freeman can be our Fenway person as well. But anyway, yeah, that was a green monster.
Hopefully this gets him going.
But he hit it hard. He hit it 97 miles an hour. Yeah, I like Bizzano too. It should be fun to see, you know, everybody's conference play finish up. Some of them are going to go to the College World Series, I'm sure, and we'll see what happens. And it's fun to see that there's like four or five guys you could legitimately consider taking. You know, you think about Bizzano and the Australian connection, but then also I was thinking about Caglianone. He's very capable of maybe being a relief pitcher as well as a hitter. And I know there's some doubts about how good of a hitter he's going to be. Maybe he just turned out to be just a reliever, and that would be disappointing. But if you think he can hack it as a hitter, he's got at least reliever floor. So I just think about, like, I wonder how many teams in the future are going to really think about that in the draft because of Ohtani saying, can we get basically an extra spot in our roster with somebody who is capable of, capable of hitting and pitching in relief. So.
That is also an interesting concept too. When you think about it too, especially a guy who's like for a first baseman, it allows you to also be able to fully use like and keep, or at least better hold on to somebody who's like a full-time DH, a guy like an Ortiz, if you can also like only put him in for like an inning and pull off your first baseman, then maybe put somebody else in rather than like just a guy who's a DH.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I wonder if they'll look at it as you could get, are you getting one player that is a number one draft pick, or are you getting two players, but is each of those players maybe not worthy of being a first round draft pick? And I don't know much about anything. That might not be fair to him at all.
No, I think that's a good way to think about it. I mean, as a hitter, he wouldn't be a consideration for a number one draft pick. And people probably aren't going to take pitchers at number one. And he's not the kind of pitcher you'd take number one. So I do think you're correct about that. Oh, my goodness. The guards never say die, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Andres, I hope you're ahead of me a little bit.
Yeah.
I figured Jimmy would get a hit somehow.
I hate to spoil things for you, but the guards.
I'll take a positive spoiler any day.
The guards just tied the
game. Yeah, I figured Jimmy wouldn't say die. It's Jimenez, after all. It's also why when Freeman got on, I felt pretty good. Because, like, if there's any guy who's going to force a guy like Jansen, who has at times, I feel like, because he throws so hard, force him to throw strikes, it's going to be Stephen Kwan. And then you have Jimenez up there, who's clutch beyond hell.
He really is. Twins fans weep. But anyway, Twins fans also weep at this. Let me give you these disgusting details. Andrés Giménez single, 82 miles an hour, 227 feet.
Perfect.
I love it. I love it. Oh, boy.
And, of course, now they've used their closer and Class A is still available. So
I'm trying to understand when I run into these Twins fans that are tweeting about Andrés Giménez when they are not playing the Guardians. They're not going to play the Guardians for like a couple weeks. Why are you tweeting about Andrés Giménez baseball savant page? Why? Just please explain to me why.
He really
and they're so obsessed with just offensive numbers too.
What's that, Allie?
He just really did a number on them mentally 2 years ago, and it's that he's been living in their heads rent free ever since. I love that for him because he's so sweet. He would never intentionally ruin someone's mental health the way that he has to them. He didn't even mean to do it. He just drove them crazy, and they still are.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Jose.
I know what she just saw, because Jose almost hit one out.
But he also hit it right on the button too.
Yeah.
But like, credit to Kwan.
That was a barrel. That was a barrel. Yeah. People that are concerned about Jose just realized that he some of the other day was complaining about how he doesn't get hits in the clutch, which is so dumb because he has his whole career.
That was lucky too. He just reached up at like a prayer, hoping to catch it. I don't think he even saw the ball that well on the last replay. Yes.
Jose just smacked the ball 104 miles an hour, and the guy happened to catch it. Otherwise,
Nicole's also right, as she just said, that Jose's been robbed so much so far.
Yeah. That same thing happened to him last year. I remember last year he was leading the league with six balls that should have been home runs.
That's just not fair.
And I think he's like, now he's probably at two or three right now. So, well, the Guardians are going into the bottom of the ninth now with a 6-6 tie. So we'll see how that goes.
Naylor got out. Though I just saw that. Oh, that was so close too. That almost broke through.
Yeah, they're right on top of it. It's ridiculous that they didn't manage to get a lead there, because they definitely did enough where you think they would have. But hey, you keep putting up good at bats, keep hitting the ball hard, you'll get rewarded for it. And this is a fun team to root for. So thanks for joining me for a little bit of a smaller crew tonight. It's nice to hear from you two a little bit more than maybe we do usually. So I appreciate you joining me. Hope you guys have a great evening.
I feel pretty good about it, too. I mean, they're best relievers out of it. Gattis or Class A is coming in.
Perfect.
I feel good about this team no matter what. So thanks, Allie. Thanks, Peyton.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.